Chris, I promised to change key in my sermon at least three times. Make you feel better, brother. I'm there for you. I thought a couple of weeks ago Chris was going to preach this morning's sermon. He did a very good job. It would certainly go right along with it, and I appreciate that. And then I thought Calvin was going to teach it this morning in class, and he certainly did a very good job, and it'd go right along with it. So I refer those two other lessons for you to listen to as well that will complement this morning's sermon. Take a moment and look around you. Look at the people sitting around you this morning. Look at the faces. You're going to need to remember them. They're very important to our lesson this morning. They're very important. You know, as we continue to talk about our Two Roads Diverge series, as we come to forks in the roads of our lives and the decisions we have to make, whether to do right or whether to do wrong, the faces around you are going to factor into some of those decisions. They're going to help with some of those decisions. In this life, as we follow the path that our Lord walked, as we look for His footprints in the dirt, which way did He go? What did He do? We're going to find ourselves at times watching those footprints walk off into a very dark place. We're going to see those footprints go in places that may be very dark, may have things that are unknown. We can't tell what's down that path. Maybe a path that's filled with things that we fear, that we're deathly afraid of. And yet, we follow those prints. It may be our valley of deep darkness, as was referred to by David in Psalm 23, where we must trust the Lord our shepherd, His rod and His staff, to protect us as we travel that very dark path. These dark paths often are as a result of our having to hold, at many times, an unpopular truth. The darkness of such a path is because we will have to face ridicule, we will have to face mockery, we will have to face anger, derision, loss of friends and loved ones. We will have to face hate. Someone asked me after last Sunday morning's sermon, weren't you afraid? You know, all these North Carolina preachers popping up on YouTube and CNN for what they preach. No, number one, nobody with this face on YouTube is going to go viral. No, I'm not afraid. You know why? Because I look at the faces of you. And I know that even if someone did come after me for what I preach, that some people have my back. You know, some of you have suffered going down this path for truth. I know you have. You've told me about it. I think it was Chris in his lesson that mentioned about one of our teenagers that suffered abuse as a result of standing for an unpopular truth. So we understand this path. We understand the difficulty of it. But as people who desire social relationships, such consequences can be some of the most difficult to endure. Yet we have examples in the Bible of men of God who made just such stands. And I want us to think about those examples this morning and think about ourselves and encourage ourselves to be stronger and to stand harder and firmer for the cause and the truth of Jesus Christ. You know, we can go all the way back. The world hadn't been around very long before the first person suffered for holding to the truth. And it was Abel. As Abel offered that sacrifice, that exhibition of faith, that exhibition of when Hebrews says by faith he offered a more excellent sacrifice. By faith means he did it according to God's truth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, God's truth. That's why he was murdered. Because he held to the truth. It made him very unpopular with his brother, didn't it? His murder came from the reality that his brother despised the fact that he stood for truth, and his actions were those that were accepted by God as a result. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 12, John speaks of this and says, "For what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous." And my friends, if you're going to stand to be righteous in our world today, people are going to hate you for it. Because their deeds are evil and yours are righteous. That is why people mistreat those who do right. We can go up to Noah, and I'm sure that the truth of the world being destroyed by a flood was quite unpopular among an immoral, eat, drink, and be merry society, right? A society that such as that existed before the flood. Yet Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 that Noah was a preacher of righteousness during this time, and he preached the words of Christ to those people who were, at the time that Peter wrote, imprisoned because of their sins and their refusal to obey. I am sure that the world before the flood did not want to hear the truth about a flood in a time when it did not rain. I'm sure that they did not want to hear the truth about their need to repent and be saved in a time when every thought and intent in their hearts was to do evil continually. Folks, you think you're in a bad time and a bad society? Imagine Noah. Every thought and intent in their heart was to do evil continually. I don't think we're there yet in this country as bad as we are. I don't think we're there. And I know there's more than eight of us, right? So we've got it pretty good, folks. I don't think they wanted to hear the truth about righteous living when they obviously so enjoyed the pleasures, momentary pleasures of sin. Yet these are truths that Noah, as a preacher of righteousness, would have been preaching. And I'm sure the rate of ridicule was great. And the alienation for not only him, but his family, I'm sure was extreme. Because that's always been the case. And I don't think it was any different. Man doesn't change. There's nothing new under the sun, according to the wise man Solomon. But Noah stood for the truth. And let me tell you what, he and his family lived when everybody else died. He and his family were saved when, as Peter puts it, all the rest were imprisoned in a devil's hell. We can go a little bit further up in the Scriptures to Moses. And when Moses stood before Pharaoh, he had to tell about the one God to a man who in his heart believed that he was the supreme God, right? You think that was popular? To go up and say, you're not really God. I'm going to tell you about the one that is. He didn't want to hear about that. He thought he was God. Who is the Lord that I should heed His voice? I don't know Him. I know me. He's so indicative of people today. Not only that, but this man had the power to kill Moses in an instant. A flick of his finger and Moses could be at the end of a spear, right? Moses still walked into Pharaoh's palace, and he still spoke an unpopular truth to a man who did not want to hear it. Pharaoh, you're going to let God's people go. You know, when Pharaoh punished the people for this, they turned on Moses and the truth that God had said to them that He was on their side. Calvin talked about this morning, that God will never leave you. And He had told those people, I'm on your side, I'm going to deliver you. And they turned on that truth instead of clinging to it. And they turned on Moses. But Moses still stood. He stood against Pharaoh and he stood against the very people he was trying to help that were opposing him when his message was not a popular one. Hebrews 11 says that Moses chose what many would consider an unpopular choice when he chose slavery and poverty over great riches and power. Those great riches and power that came from the house of favor that he grew up in. You know, we go even further and we can see throughout the Old Testament, the prophets. The prophets in the Old Testament are some of the greatest examples of men who stood for unpopular truths, because most of the time, oftentimes, they were called to call the people back because they were where they shouldn't be. Let me tell you what, if you're ever telling somebody that they're doing wrong or they are somewhere where they shouldn't be, it's going to be unpopular. It's going to be unpopular, at least initially. They were tasked by God to tell sinful people that they were wrong, and such a task has never been and will never be popular, no matter how true it may be. Nathan, the prophet, had to go to a king and call him a murderer. Jezebel threatened Elijah's life because he stood against the prophets of Baal and the Asherah. Jeremiah was considered crazy because of the things that he preached. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were cast into a furnace because they stood for a truth that no one else really wanted to stand for. Daniel was cast into a lion's den for his unpopular truth. Hebrews 11 stated that many of these were mocked, flogged, put in chains, imprisoned, stoned, sawn in two. We believe that to be Isaiah, many do, that he was sawn in two and killed with a sword. Why? Because they held unpopular truths. They stood on them. Why did these things happen to these great people of faith? Because they were willing to side with God when mankind wanted them to side with them. You know, we can go forward into the New Testament, the New Testament preachers. In the first centuries, Christians stood for truths that were certainly not popular in a polytheistic society. Stephen, just as Peter, stood before the very men that put Jesus Christ on the cross and in no uncertain terms said, "You murdered him." And they didn't like it. They didn't like it when Peter said it, both times that he said it actually. And they didn't like it when Stephen said it. It was unpopular. He was stoned to death for what he spoke, for that truth that he spoke. The Apostle James, the brother of John, was beheaded in the book of Acts. Paul suffered many things because of the truth that he preached that were very unpopular amidst a pagan and unbelieving populace. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 lists a few things. He says, "I was in prison numerous times, beaten more times than he could count." You know, I've never been beaten. I don't know what that's like. But the Apostle Paul says, "I've been beaten more times than I can even count." He had been near death many times. He had received 40 lashes from the Jews 5 times. He'd been beaten with rods 3 times. And he'd been stoned once. That's a tough record to live up to, isn't it? We think about ourselves. Being a Christian in the first century was incredibly unpopular, as the waves of persecution show us so clearly and illustrate to us so clearly. Christians were fed to the lions in the Colosseum. And let me tell you, you were fed there because you wouldn't recant Jesus Christ. You wouldn't turn back on the truths that you knew to be right, that you knew to be from God. They were burned on stakes to light parties. They were crucified. They were killed outright for refusing to acknowledge Caesar over the Lord Christ. I think at times when we shy away from standing because we're afraid of being called a name or being looked down upon, we should be ashamed. We should be ashamed of our cowardice, because we, like those in Hebrews chapter 12, have not yet even resisted the world to the point of blood. I have not shed blood for the cause of Jesus Christ. We have it so easy in comparison to so many Christians, past and present. We can even look, as we talk about following the paths of Jesus Christ, the footprints in the on the path, look to Jesus Christ, His life. Our Lord met conflict over many truths that were unpopular. Healing on the Sabbath day was a big one, wasn't it? That one was never popular, except to the person getting healed. It was never popular, but it was still right. Jesus stood on that truth. The teaching that the rich would have a hard time getting into heaven was unpopular, because being rich meant being righteous. And yet Jesus made it clear that's just not the case. It was unpopular during His ministry when He taught on things such as we've talked about a few weeks ago in divorce and remarriage, a lot of things that are out there. Jesus stood by the unpopular truth as well, that the Jewish leaders were hypocrites and they hated Him for it. And He stood on the unpopular truth that He was the Christ, the Son of the living God, and they crucified Him for it. He has shown us the path of how to stand. And we, as people that wear His name, need simply to follow. Even God Himself, as we think about God in heaven, our Father. The righteousness of God has never been popular. And you know what? It has never been popular even when there was only two people on the earth, right? It wasn't even popular then. I believe in my heart, and this is Nathan's opinion, so you can turn off right now if you want to and listen to something else. I believe in my heart the events of Genesis chapter 3 at the tree with the serpent happened on Sunday morning after day 7. I think it took about that long, because I've just seen enough of human nature to believe that. After God had rested on day 7, I think the devil got right to work on Sunday morning. You know, yet the truth, the righteousness of God, the truth that we're talking about, that is where God is. God is truth. The devil is all the lies. He has all the lies, and God has all the truth. And the truth is where God is. And if you want to be where God is, you better be there. Because He's not with the world and their opinions and their thoughts. He's with the truth. What are the truths today that define whether we are with God or the world? What truths must we hold that will cause us to be unpopular in our world? Let's list just a few. And I may be unpopular this morning with some even here. One cannot be saved without baptism that is for the purpose of washing away sin and placing us at that time of baptism into a saved state in Jesus Christ. That's the truth. We better stand there. There is no other way to be saved. No other way shown in the Bible. And if anybody does it any other way, they will not get there. One cannot pervert the worship service with instrumental music, women leaders, inventions to please people. To please people who are here, not to please themselves, but to please God. Got it backwards. We can never do that and please God. It is clear and it is plain that God is a God that cares about what we do when we worship Him. There is only one church, one faith, one truth. I may get in trouble if political candidates here today, Calvin. Therefore, the denominations in our world today cannot be right because they do not follow the teachings of the New Testament. We are, and we better be, and we better ensure that we are the New Testament church. They do not, those that do not hold to the New Testament teachings do not provide a pathway to heaven because they do not stand for the truth, an unpopular truth. As we talked about a few weeks ago, divorce will always be an unpopular truth. The teachings on divorce must be for the reason of adultery. A person is not free. Those who continue as well, this is another one that will be very unpopular. Those who continue to live sexually immoral lives cannot be considered righteous, nor people who have any chance of being saved or going to heaven until such activity is stopped and repented of before God. It wears on me when sexually immoral people are praised in our society as being such good and wonderful people and such an example for our children to follow. God forbid. Our children need to follow people in this book, namely Jesus Christ. Those people, such lives would include premarital sex, sexual acts of many kinds. And I know, thanks to Bill Clinton, we have to lay all kinds of definitions down, but let's just say sexual acts of any kind. Adultery, homosexuality, and a plethora of other inventions of evil that Romans 1 says inventors calls man inventors of evil. Inventions of evil that mankind has come up with that are not indicative of lives that contain purity of heart. We will discuss living a pure life next week. Those who drink alcohol and use drugs for reasons other than medical needs are not living as God desires for Christians to live. Those who dress immodestly in a way that promotes lust and makes them a tool of the devil to cause others to sin are not instruments of righteousness that would further God's purposes in this world. They only help the devil destroy the souls of others who allow lust to take their lives into sin. Abortion is murder. We'll discuss that in July. A Christian cannot just warm a pew one or two times a week and do nothing else and have any hope of going to heaven. Every Christian must stand up, hold up God's truths that are not, never have been, and never will be popular. You know, that's what Jeremiah got called crazy for preaching. Now, y'all can call me crazy if you want. I'll be in good company. As he stood at the temple door and said, "Why are you even coming here? Why are you coming to worship? You don't live it out there. It's a farce to come here and act like you care." Christianity is not this room. It is our lives. We come here to worship the God that gave us the opportunity to live that life. People will not like you for standing on any one of these truths or other many others just like them. It's not a comprehensive list. At the heart of this is Romans 12, 1 through 2, where we are to sacrifice our lives in order to be transformed, that we might not conform to what the world thinks is right or what the world wants to be right or what is popular with the world. We don't conform to that. We sacrifice self and our lives to Christ that we might be transformed into what He wants us to be as those that wear His name. We are to avoid the lies that the world loves and holds so closely to its misguided heart. When it comes to God's truths, we as Christians need to learn it does not matter what the world thinks. We just need to get rid of that. It only matters what God thinks. Let me tell you what, you deal there, you live there, it'll all take care of itself. You'll be what you need to be. You'll preach and you'll teach and you'll shine the light of Christ just like you need to. But when the world is factored into what, how we stand for truth, we're already on a slippery slope to a very dangerous place. Hebrews 11 says that the world's opinion is so worthless that the world is not worthy of people like those men of faith. They're not worthy to have those kind of people around them. Let me tell you what, if you stand for God's Word today, the world's not worthy of a person like you. You're precious. You're precious in the eyes of God. It is so sad that many people who would wear the name Christian will be lost one day because they cared more about the worthless mindset of the world who doesn't even care about them than they did about the precious and priceless truths of God who died on a cross for you. Paul spoke of a man named Demas in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that left him. Why? He said because he loved this present world. How many times has that characterized us? We cannot love the world and God. We cannot have two masters, as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said. We will love the one and hate the other. And you cannot love God and the world. So as Joshua said, choose you this day. Choose you this day who you care about the most. Who you think, whose opinion means more to you. Who you'd rather be popular with or unpopular with. Choose today to be a person who the world does not deserve. And that God can accomplish His purposes through you and His saving truth. The Bible calls you to stand. So stand. No matter the names you are called, stand. No matter how many threaten to leave the congregation, stand. No matter how many hate you, stand. No matter how many friends and family members may leave you, stand. No matter how unpopular you may be, stand. No matter if you're the only one, stand. No matter how much blood you might shed, stand. No matter if you give your very life for it, stand. No matter the consequences, stand. Then you will be one that the world is not worthy to have amongst it. You will be one that is the world is not worthy of you, and you will join the company with people like Abel, Noah, Moses, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Peter, Stephen, James, Paul, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and our Father in heaven. That's good company, folks. That's where I want to be. I want to be popular with that crowd, even if I'm all alone here. What about you? It all comes down to as we stand at the fork in the road, we look down that dark path and fear creeps into our heart. It all comes down to fearing the right things. Fearing the right things. Matthew 10:28, Jesus spoke of fearing the right things. When He said, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul. But rather, fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Fear is a part of life. Fear is something we have to maintain and control. But let me tell you what, if you're going to fear, fear God and keep His commandments, as the wise man concluded the book of Ecclesiastes with. That's your whole duty. Fear the one that can cast your soul into hell. not the one that can just kill your body. Let me tell you what, you stand for the truth and you live your life for Jesus Christ and somebody kills you for it, they've done you a favor. They've sent you home. And you're much better off. Fear the right things. Fear God. This morning, if you're someone who has not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know what you need to do. You understand it. You've been taught. Why haven't you obeyed? Is it because you fear? Fear God. Come to Him. He will save you. And as Calvin talked about so well in class this morning, He has promised never to leave us. You know, even if as I look around this room and when we think about standing, folks, when you think about standing, you remember all these people around you, these faces I told you to look at earlier, they're standing there with you. We won't leave you alone. As we say in today's vernacular, we got you back. You're not alone. And let me tell you what, even if there was no one else in this auditorium and you were alone, you're not. Because God has promised, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. If you want that kind of promise in your life, let me tell you what, if you're outside of Christ and you're in the world, you don't have that. This world does not care about you. The devil does not care about you. No one cares about you like God cares about you. People will leave you. They will betray you. They will not love you at times. They will treat you bad at times. But God only wants to save you. Come to Him. Believing in Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins this morning, confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, be buried in baptism to rise to walk that life that stands for that which is right and true, no matter what the world thinks. And like Paul, at the end of your life, you can say, I have finished the course. There is a crown of righteousness promised to me by God. Jesus Christ will give it to me. If you're a child of God this morning, maybe you've forgotten that Christianity is more than just a pew. That Christianity is about shining light, and shining light's about the truth. It's not just about me being nice. I know a lot of people that never darken the door of a church building very nice. The light is Jesus Christ. Shining our light is more than just being nice. It is showing Jesus Christ. It is that they can be directed to the Father who is in heaven. And that means you're going to have to stand. That means you're going to have to state truths that people don't want to hear. If you haven't been doing that, turn on the light. Begin today. If we can assist you in any way, if we can encourage you in any way, won't you let us? Won't you let us help you stand as we stand and sing?